السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series of lectures on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under the title of Qualities of People of Jannah. And we were talking about the second quality of people of Jannah, which is certainty of belief in the message. And I mentioned to you last week about the importance of being certain about what you are preaching. It is today greater damage is being done to the image of Islam by apologetic Muslims, far more than by people who actively go to try to harm the image of Islam. And the reason for the damage caused by apologetic Muslims is the fact that outwardly they look like Muslims, but they, by their actions or by their speech, they are constantly apologizing for the fact that they are Muslim. They are apologizing for the fact that there is Islam, either directly or indirectly, by their behavior or by their speech, by what they say, how they say. For example, one of the very common things we find in this country at least is that people, when you say assalamu alaikum, they will not say wa alaikum assalam. They will say hi. Muslims, they will say good morning. Now if you do not even have the confidence to say wa alaikum assalam, then what does it say about your faith and about your Islam and anything else? And of course this extends to a whole lot of other things. I don't want to make a list of all that, you know what it is and you know what I'm talking about. And the problem with this is that for the neutral person outside, the message he is getting is that if this person who calls himself a Muslim is so apologetic about his faith, then why must I look at it? Even he is not confident about it himself. Then why must I am not a Muslim, why must I look at Islam as an option, when the one who is a Muslim and who calls himself a Muslim is himself not sure, and he himself is apologetic about this, then why must I bother, why must I look at Islam? So this is the greatest damage that is done by the behavior of people being apologetic about Islam. And that's why I said last time, make up your mind. Make up your mind, because whether you or I like to accept it or not, Islam is the truth. Islam is the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu chose for us. And the fact that anyone is apologetic about it, or anyone outwardly or outrightly rejects it, makes no difference to the truth about Islam. If you take the Hope Diamond and you kick it around in the football field, it does not reduce the value of the diamond. It just shows that you do not know what you are doing, that you don't understand what the diamond is. But it does no harm to the diamond. You can kick it around in the football field, and as far as the diamond is concerned, maybe that is what you should do. But I'm just saying that not recognizing the value of something which intrinsically has value only shows the fact that the person does not understand what value is. It does not reduce the value. And that is the truth about Islam. So make up your mind and then be confident about your Islam. And confidence is absolutely number one supreme requirement, because without confidence you cannot lead anyone anywhere. Now, the second part of this is also the credibility of the messenger. In the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we study the seerah, and that is why it is so important and critical to study the seerah. It's very important to study the seerah, because the seerah is the tafsir of the Quran. The seerah is the working manual of the instructions that the Quran gives us. The example that I always give, which is the easiest example to explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimus Salah. He said, establish Salah. But Allah did not say how it is to be done, the specific way in which salah is to be established. He left this through another set of wahi, which we know as hadith, to his messenger and prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to demonstrate how salah is to be done. And so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated it, and he said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." He said, "Pray as you see me pray." If you don't look at that hadith, and if you don't look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did an established salah, then you cannot obey the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said aqimus salah. So those who deny the hadith, they must reflect on this, because by denying the hadith, you are actually denying Islam itself. So therefore, the credibility of the messenger, how believable is the person, this is something which is the first thing that people look at. And that is why the importance of the personal character of the messenger, which is so critically important. There is no such thing as a credible message from a discredited messenger. There is no such thing as a leader who is not respected. I'm not talking about people who usurp leadership positions and who lead or who appear to lead. They actually don't lead, they force. By force, by military force or by some other force. They're not leaders, they are, we don't know whatever they are. But we're talking about people who are actually leaders, who others want to follow. There's no such thing as somebody who people do not respect but want to follow. It's an oxymoron, there's no way. If you don't respect a person, there is no way that you are going to want to follow that person. And that's the reason why to be respectable, to be somebody that is worthy of respect, this is an absolutely critical requirement of leadership. Now, with regard to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many people accepted Islam initially not because they were convinced about the theology of Islam, not because they actually debated the doctrine of Islam. They accepted Islam because they believed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For many, many of them, Islam was simply, how do you know it is true? Because he said so. That is it. That is it. And the finest example of this is the case of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And I'm giving you that example because it is not the example of a person who was illiterate or who was someone likely to be swayed by whatever was happening in society. Here was a man who was a judge. He was a magistrate. He was highly learned. He was highly respected. He was among the leaders of the Quraysh. A very highly intelligent person, more than capable of using his intelligence. Now there was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And when he returned and announced this, Abu Jahl came running when he heard this. He came running and he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "What did you say?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him. Abu Jahl said, "Are you willing to stand by this statement in public? Will you say this in public?" Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, of course I will say it in public." Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say something in private and something else in public. So he said, "Of course I will say it in public." Abu Jahl was delighted. He was thrilled. It was for him, it was like saying, "Gotcha. We got you now. There's no way you can escape. Because you tell this story in public and you are finished." That was his thinking. So he said, will you say this in public? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes." So Abu Jahl then announced and a whole lot of people gathered and so on. And of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the story and they all had a big laugh. But some of them went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I'm talking about the credibility of the messenger. They went to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and they said, "Do you know what your friend is saying?" So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "What is he saying?" They said, "He is saying that he was taken in one night on a journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, from Makkah to Jerusalem, and then he was taken in the seven heavens, and so on and so forth, and he came back, and all in the same night. The answer of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is the foundation of the ilm of hadith, the ilm of authentication of hadith. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, if he said that, I believe. See the wisdom of that answer. He did not say, I believe. Because the message being brought to him is not being brought by credible people. So he can't just say, I believe. Yes or no? No. He said, if he said that, I believe. Now this is the foundation of the ilm of authentication of hadith. Where our belief and our status is that if Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something, we believe. So the muhaddithun, they investigated the hadith not to see whether what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, does it sound logical, is it believable, is it scientific, is it political? No. Their search was, did he actually say this? How did they do that? They did that by authenticating and investigating the lives of all the narrators. The narrators all the way from the first person who heard the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is one of the Sahaba, to the last person who narrated it when it was recorded. And this investigation was done with such amazing rigor that it is a unique branch of science, of history, which the like of which does not exist in the world. And this is called Al-Ilmul Asma'ur Rijal, the knowledge of the names of the people. And there are over 300,000 people who were investigated. And different muhaddithun applied different levels of rigor to that investigation. For example, a famous story of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh. Imam Bukhari was informed that somebody in some place knew a hadith. So Imam al-Bukhari went to see him. And when he went to see this man, he saw this man was in a paddock and he was calling his horse, and his horse was skittering about the place. So this man had his hand in his pocket and he was gesturing to the horse. And the horse came to the man. So Imam Bukhari went to the man and he asked the man, when you called the horse and your hand was in your pocket, did you actually have something in your hand to give to the horse or no? The man said, no, I was just gesturing because, you know, I usually give him some sugar or whatever, and so the horse knows when I'm my hand in my pocket, then he expects something to get. So I was calling the horse. Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullahi said to the man, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I came here to take a hadith from you, but I will not take it from you now. Imagine the rigor of authentication. Because Imam al-Bukhari's thing was that this man is, within quotes, lying to the horse. So is he reliable? Now you and I might say this is insane. I mean, how do you lie to a horse? A horse is a horse, man. You got to call the horse. What are you going to do? You know, sing a ballad or something? I mean, make a ghazal for the horse? But that's not how they thought. Their point was that a truthful person is truthful in every single aspect of his life. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not tell a lie even as a joke. Even as a joke. Obviously there are so many other ways of joking. I mean, nothing is wrong. Islam is not against humor. And one must be, you know, one must have fun and you must laugh and so on and emanate happiness all around you. But you don't have to tell lies for that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not lie even as a joke. And this was the standard that they held, that a person is truthful, or a truthful person is truthful in every single aspect of his or her life. There is no such thing as an aspect that where this truthfulness goes away from the person, even for an instant, even if it is to call a horse. And that standard they got from whom? They got this standard from the one who was called As-Sadiq wal-Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. And the true obviously are related. If you are not truthful, you cannot be trustworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness to this. Where in Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa innaka la'ala qulqin azim." Allah said, "Verily you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are on an exalted standard of character." My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that personal credibility is the foundation of leadership. People don't care what you say until they see what you do. You are your message. You can never separate yourself from your message. You are the product. You are not selling your message, you are selling yourself. You are what people see first. And then, and only if they like what they see, will they listen to the message. I'm not saying this is necessarily a good thing. Actually, it's a bad thing. And that is the reason why a lot of people denied the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because they did not like him. And they destroyed themselves in the process. They did not refuse. For example, somebody went to Abu Jahl and they asked him, they said, "Do you really think that what Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying is false?" Abu Jahl said, "No." So they said, "You mean you believe what he's saying?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Then why won't you accept it?" He said, "Because how can this message come to that part of the family? It should have come to our part of the family." Now imagine, here is the hatred for the man which is driving this man into Jahannam. He believes the message, but he will not accept it only because Muhammad said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the case of the majority of the Jewish people in Medina. They knew the message was true. The coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been predicted in their books. They were scholars. They studied their books. They knew he was coming. But the only reason they rejected it was because of racism. They said, "He is Arab. He should have been Jewish. How can it come to those people? It should have come to us." They said, "Is he not the messenger?" "Yes, he is the messenger." "Do you believe he is the messenger?" "Yes, we believe he is the messenger." "Why don't you accept him?" "Because he is Arab." Imagine where this hatred and racism takes you. It takes you straight into the pit of fire. Having said that, however, my submission to you is that even though this is not the right thing to do, this is what most people will do. Most people will look at you and they will believe you only if they respect you. So obviously there are going to be some people who will still not like you, and doesn't matter. But it underlies and it underlines the importance of personal character. And that's why they say a great nation is never destroyed from outside. It's destroyed only when it kills itself from inside. It's like imagine a beautiful wooden palace. You know, Kerala is full of the massive wooden structures. Now, if that gets infested with termites, you cannot see the effect of termites on the surface. It will still look perfectly fine until one day it collapses, because it has been eaten up from inside and nobody knew. And this is our situation. This is our situation today, which is that we need to look at ourselves inside. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, "Can a believer be a coward?" He said, "Yes, he can be a coward." Then they asked him if a believer can be a miser, baqil. He said, "Yes, he can be a miser." And they asked him, "Can a believer be a liar?" And he said, "No, a believer cannot lie." He said, "A believer cannot be a liar." And this hadith is in Mishkat and also in Muwatta Imam Malik. Now think about this. When I first read this hadith, I remember thinking to myself that there are so many other faults of character. There are so many other things that a person can do which are, you know, more serious. But why is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that a believer cannot be a liar? What is this big focus on being truthful? And two things came to me. One was that lying is the root of all evil. It is the foundation of all evil. No matter what, everything begins with lying. Lying to yourself and lying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the foundation, the fundamental problem is lying. And the second thing that came to me was that when Rasulullah said a believer cannot lie, he was giving his own title of As-Sadiqul Amin to every believer who refuses to lie. Now what is a bigger honor than that? Who is a believer? The one who is As-Sadiqul Amin. And who is As-Sadiqul Amin? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can be a bigger honor than that? To be called by the same title as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this wonderful story from the Seerah, which talks about the issue of being truthful. In Medina, there was a very famous Jewish rabbi, and his name was Al-Husayn bin Salam. Husayn bin Salam was a very famous scholar, very famous rabbi, and he came from a long line of rabbis. So he was a scholar, and he came from a family of scholars, very highly respected in all of Medina among the Jewish people. And he was known for his piety and his goodness and his good conduct, and so he was respected by everybody in Medina. He was a very highly respected individual. Now, Husayn bin Salam, he was a very structured person. So, he had different times that he set up for the day. He had a time for worship. He had a time when he used to teach people the scriptures. And then there was a time when he used to preach in the synagogue, in the temple. And then he would spend some time in his orchard, because the Jewish people were farmers, they had date orchards. So Husayn bin Salam used to spend some time looking after the date palms and, you know, pruning and pollinating and so on. So now one day, in the course of his study of the Torah, he came across the ayat referring to the coming of Rabbi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he heard and he read this and he researched it, and he was waiting for this to happen. And until one day he heard about the appearance and the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, and this is the narration in his translation of his own words. He said, when I heard of the appearance of the Messenger of God, peace be upon him, I began to make inquiries about his name and his genealogy and his characteristics and his time and place, and I began to compare this information with what is contained in our books. From these inquiries, I became convinced about the authenticity of his prophethood, and I affirmed the truth of his mission. However, I concealed my conclusions from the Jews and I held my tongue. He said, then came the day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Makkah and headed for Yathrib. When he reached Yathrib and he stopped at Quba, a man came running into the city, calling out to the people, announcing the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that moment, I was on the top of a palm tree doing some work. My aunt Khalida bint al-Harith was sitting under the tree. On hearing the news, I shouted, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." When my aunt heard me, she remonstrated with me. She criticized me and she said, "May Allah frustrate you. Wallahi, if you had heard that Musa alayhi salam was coming, you would not have been more enthusiastic." And Husayn bin Salam says, I said to her, he said, "Auntie, he is really the brother of Musa. And he follows the same religion, which is Islam. And he was sent with the same message as Musa." So after that, he said, she became silent for a while, and then she asked him, "Is he the prophet about whom you spoke to us, who would be sent to confirm the truth preached by previous prophets and complete the message of his Rabb?" And Husayn bin Salam said, "Yes, he is the man." He says that without any delay, I rushed to meet Rasulullah. He said, "I saw crowds of people at his door. I moved about in the crowds until I reached close to him. And the first words that I heard him say, the meaning of which is, he said, "O people, spread salam, share your food, and pray during the night while people sleep, and you will enter Jannah in peace." Spread salam, share your food, and pray in the night when people are sleeping. And he said, you will reach Jannah in peace. Hussein bin Salam said, I looked at him very closely. I scrutinized him and was convinced that his face was not that of a liar. Now this art of face reading was a science that used to be taught. And people looked at your face and they told you all kinds of things about you and your character. And among the people who are known to have learned this art and who were good at it was Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayh and Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu, and of course many others. And Hussein bin Salam was one of them. So Hussein bin Salam said, I looked at his face, I knew that this is not the face of a liar. Remember, everything boils down to truth. So he said, I went close to him and I said to him, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. I declared my Islam and I accepted Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hussein bin Salam said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to me and asked me, what is your name? He said, Al Hussein ibn Salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from today your name is Abdullah ibn Salam. And he gave him another name. And Hussein bin Salam says, I agreed, and by him, and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, by him who has sent you with the truth, I do not wish to have any other name after this day. And Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu says, I returned home and introduced Islam to my wife and my children and the rest of the family, and they all accepted Islam, including my aunt Khalida bint al-Haris. That was the one who was sitting under the tree when he made this announcement. So he said, they all accepted Islam. I told them, but keep it secret, don't tell anyone. He said, subsequently, I went back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jewish people are inclined towards falsehood. I want you to invite the most prominent men among them to meet you. And during this meeting, I will be concealed. I will be behind a curtain. They will not see me. And then ask them about my status among them before they find out about my acceptance of Islam. Then invite them to Islam. If they were to know that I have become a Muslim, they will denounce me and accuse me of everything base, and they will slander me. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed, and Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept me in one of his rooms, and he invited the prominent Jewish personalities to visit him. And when they came, he introduced Islam to them and urged them to have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to accept La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So of course they refused and they began to dispute and argue with him. And when he realized that they are not going to accept Islam, he asked them, he said, okay, tell me, what is the status of Al Hussein bin Salam among you? They said, he is our Sayyid, and he is the son of our Sayyid. He said, he is our leader, and he is the son of our leader. He is our rabbi, he is our alim, he is our scholar, and he is the son of our rabbi and our scholar. So they had a very high opinion of Hussein bin Salam, who was called Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you come to know that he accepted Islam, will you also accept Islam? They said, God forbid, he cannot accept Islam. He will never accept Islam. May Allah protect him from accepting Islam. And Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu says, at this point, I came out before them and I announced, and I said, O assembly of Jews, ittaqullah, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought. By Allah, you certainly know that he is the messenger of Allah, and you can find prophecies about him and the mention of his name and his characteristics in your Torah. And he said, I for my part declare that he is the messenger of Allah, I have faith in him and believe that he is true and that I know him. And immediately he said, they started shouting. They said, you are a liar. You are ignorant and you are evil and you are the son of an evil and ignorant person. And they continued to heap every conceivable abuse on me. Now think about this. What is it that convinced the scholar of the Jews, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu? What was it in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was what he saw in his face, combined with what he experienced in his behavior, combined with what he knew about his character, that convinced him. And based on that, he said, this is not the face of a liar. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that this art of reading the character of a person by looking at his face seems to be by and large lost. Because I always wonder, and I'm not trying to be modest, I always wonder what somebody like that would say if they saw my face. I wonder what they would say if they saw my face and they could read. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his cover that he places over me. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to remove that cover while I live and after I die. My brothers and sisters, the importance of good character begins and ends with truthfulness, and it cannot be overemphasized. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, the signs of a hypocrite are three. Whenever he speaks, he tells a lie. Whatever he promises, he breaks his promise. And if you trust him, he betrays your trust. In another hadith narrated also by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, whoever does not give up giving false witnesses, which is to tell a lie or to give a false witness before a judge and so on, whoever does not give up giving false witnesses and evil deeds and uttering bad words to others, which is cursing, Allah is not in need of his fasting, leaving his food and drink. I remind myself and you that we are on the threshold of Ramadan al-Kareem. And let us not convert fasting into starvation. Fasting is not starving. Let us not do that. Today, our character is our biggest problems, especially our dealings. We have come to be associated and come to be known for every kind of low quality work, be it coming late, short delivery, deception, or shoddy work of any kind. It's almost like saying, if you want to see something being ruined, give it to a Muslim. Every Muslim function begins late, and we laugh and we call it Arab time and we call it Muslim time, but believe me, it's nothing funny, it stinks. Our systems don't work even when there are systems. And then you ask people and the only thing you get is excuses. Same old mistakes being repeated over and over and over. All Muslim writing is characterized by bad grammar or spelling mistakes, not because the author does not know the language, but because they are too lazy to check. The word of a Muslim today is not worth the hot air it represents. Take any area of expertise, science or technology or literature or art or statesmanship or engineering or invention or law, architecture, trade, business, and you would be hard put to find a Muslim name among global leaders in terms of their contribution. How can you expect people to look up to people like us? They will look up to us for what? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in Makkah was a series of increasing difficulties and escalating opposition. But believe me, resistance builds strength as long as you don't succumb to it. The greater the resistance, the more it will bring your build your strength as long as you stand firm against it. Like in bodybuilding, it's the lifting of weights which builds strength in your muscles. And so also in Dawah, calling people to the truth and being firm and patient against opposition builds Iman. This was the practice that the Muslims were getting in Makkah. There are many stories of all kinds of persecution that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a victim of. And those who dared to follow him were also subjected to cruel persecution, torture, and in some cases they were murdered. And all this was done with complete impunity by the powerful and rich chiefs of Quraysh. However, all that they achieved was to make the Muslims stronger in their position. I want to end with the last story from the seerah. Aqil bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, narrates that the Quraysh complained to Abu Talib that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was disrupting their meetings. So Abu Talib gently requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him, stop doing this, stop giving da'wah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him very respectfully, he said, my uncle, do you see the sun? He said, I am no more capable of stopping the sun, and you are no more capable of getting a flame from the sun than I am capable of stopping this message. Abu Talib said to him, I believe you, go ahead and do what you are doing. And I believe that this last incident was the seal which demonstrated best his sallallahu alaihi wasallam's complete certainty in his belief in the message that he had been charged with and his commitment to his responsibility. Nothing could deter him or slow him down or persuade him to dilute his message. Nothing could make him be politically correct or frighten him or force him to give up his preaching or to compromise the message in any way to please anyone. He was only concerned about the pleasure of his creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu, and worked only to achieve that, whatever be the cost that he had to pay. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him, to enable us to be truthful in situations where we are being forced not to be truthful, to realize that these are tests and the tests come to graduate us to a higher and higher station. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live lives which are truthful and to take us in a state where we are truthful, and that when we are called before him on the day of judgment, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bear witness that we were truthful. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين